Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
When they swarm in, didn't you say, yeah, we all know the deal.
The
thing in the Reuters interview that I thought was as amazing as I can't believe this job is hard is
hard.
He's openly pining and nostalgic for his old job, his whole life. President.
Yeah.
I miss those days. I loved my old life.
Well, I'm trying
Man, that was easy back then. It's like, this is 100 days. You have 1,000 more to go.
Yeah.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Alrighty then. We are plausibly live from a disclosed location. This is our second day at Chatter on the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer Streets. In the capital of the United States of America, a block from the Maryland line.
Fully disclosed.
Yeah, no, we're good. Let me go back, and you'll hear ambient noise. Those are buses.
Traffic's picking up.
Picking up, which is good. We probably should get a traffic person in here, although the show doesn't drop till 11 o'clock Eastern and 8 o'clock Pacific.
So it's clearing out pretty much, unless you're out
west. At that point, it'll be fine. I wanted to go back, and as I said yesterday, we had done the show for 5 or 6 months from Columbia Country Club, and I wanted to specifically thank Will Duthie, who is the general manager there, and Laura Gage, who's in charge of the catering, because they were great to us, absolutely great to us. I woke up this morning, and I took the dog out. By the way, I'll tell a story about the dog. My dog has a giant head. Like, I believe that my dog's head weighs 30% of my dog's weight. The dog weighs about 75.
The human head weighs 8 pounds.
Her head is just enormous. But what is nice is because I am one of those people who wake up at a preposterously early hour. It's light in the sky by 5:30 now.
Yeah.
That's really nice. You can see light in the sky. It's so depressing in the winter when it's dark till 8 and you're on your way to work, and wherever you are, you're at work. And so this is very, very nice, and I'm appreciative of that. I'm appreciative of the fact that yesterday some people came in. We had a very big crowd. We don't have as big a crowd today, but the crowds will build over time as people know to come here. One of the people who was listening to the show yesterday was from Botswana.
Excellent.
Wow.
Botswana. I mean, I don't know anybody from Botswana. I now know him. And there was a couple from San Antonio.
Macon, really Georgia nice. In the house.
That was really nice. So yeah. I forgot to introduce people. I'm just realizing that Gary Braun is here. Tori Clark is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel's running the news. Maureen has dropped by. And we are open. I should say this because this is a business proposition. We're open for breakfast here at Chatter. Now, we're not open tomorrow, Wednesday, for breakfast because they're changing things in the kitchen. But we were open Monday, open Tuesday. We'll be open Thursday and forever after that.
This is very exciting news.
We'll be
in the hood.
Open forever.
I live right down the street, and we're very excited about a breakfast place.
So will the door be open when I get here?
Well, it'll open at 8. I mean, it will open the restaurant. We're here before 8 because we started 8, but because you were locked out today.
Before 8.
Well, wait, I was locked out too.
How'd you get in?
Well,
you knocked on the door.
Nigel was there, and Bob was there.
I'm 0 for 2 also.
Yeah, I mean, don't make it seem like this is
right. So we don't all have
personally.
Keys.
We're just saying, Columbia, the door was open.
Yeah,
this is true.
We should
always
probably
open.
Try and do something
really
like
nice
that
people.
If we could. All right, let's start. Can I just read one thing? One, I mentioned this before, that the two things I'm insistent on the new menu is one is a La Cheeserie board.
Uh-huh.
I want La Cheeserie involved. And Michael Sands, we text back and forth, and he says, who should I call? And I go, I don't know.
Michael.
Just work it out.
Make it
you
happen.
You know, because they want to do it, and we want to do it. And the second thing is we want to sell the perfect truffles. And I don't really know the price points per perfect truffle, but they're really good. It's a confectionery company from Frederick, Maryland. And I got a gift of perfect truffles yesterday. A gift, but not from the perfect truffle.
This is like the mushroom, the truffle?
No, it's not that kind of truffle.
Oh, like the candy truffle.
No, it's candy, and it's really good. Right. So I got interestingly enough, when my son did not call me.
Like, on his wife's birthday?
On his wife's
that
birthday.
That ain't great.
But he called last night. What did you say about the truffles?
I just wanted you to save a few for my wife.
Right,
she's a big fan of the perfect truffle.
Right, I got the impression you were saying, "Don't you dare eat any until Liz gets a chance at them." But you didn't actually say that. That's what I heard, even though that's not what you said. And I did say to you,
what you want.
I will not open them at all until Liz gets to see them, which is fine. This is a letter from Heather O'Neill in Frederick, Maryland, where the perfect truffles are created. Small token of my appreciation for you and the crew for the many hours of entertainment and information for life. As a newlywed, the person to whom I'm related to by marriage said he knew he married the right girl when he came home one evening to find me in the bath reading Pumping Irony and laughing aloud. These days, I listen to the podcast while in the shower. Did you know your people from Kohler make a Bluetooth speaker shower head?
We have that shower head.
I had no idea. Is that the one I gave you?
Yes, they sent it to us.
And it's got a radio speaker in it?
Inside the head, yeah.
Cool.
That would scare me beyond words. Anyway, so she goes, as a mom of three and a preschool teacher, I rarely find other moms interested in my stories that begin with Tony says, and my students never react at all when I shout La Cheeserie, but I can occasionally impress my masculine child with a stat or quote shamelessly stolen from David Aldridge, Bob Ryan, or Sally Jenkins. I use the SeatGeek app and promo code Tony to send my man child and his dad to the Cavs Wizards game, a move that earned me the title of best mom ever for about a week. So
nice.
It's very nice to have sent that. And now we can begin the show. And we begin the show with the notion that everything changes, and it changes in hockey, and it changes very, very quickly. Sidney Crosby's out. He got whacked pretty good. He got upended by Alexander Ovechkin in the first period and smashed by Niskanen. Do I have that name
Matty
correctly?
Niskanen, yeah.
Right, and
Niski.
Who drew a five-minute penalty, and the Penguins did not score.
Appropriately so?
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was a five-minute
penalty. That doesn't mean
penalty.
There's intent.
Yeah, right, not intent, but it was a vicious hit to the side of the head.
When he was helpless.
Niskanen,
he was helpless at that point. He was falling.
My in-house consultants questioned whether or not the penalty would have been as severe if it was anybody other than Crosby.
Well, Niskanen, as you are coached to do in any sport where there's hitting, absolutely finished that hit.
He did.
I mean, he hit him, and he took it all the way down.
Yep.
And his eyes were on the puck, if you watch, not even the hit. I mean, I'm not questioning the intent. I didn't think it was even remotely a dirty hit. It was, as you're saying, sort of a confluence of weird events.
Just the way it happens.
Ovechkin kind of
they
hits
have
him
penalties
in the back
for that. The guy is falling. He's helpless. In the NFL, it's a helpless receiver being killed across the middle.
To Torrey's point, though, if it's not Sidney Crosby, he probably doesn't go down, and it could just be a minor.
Maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, he did sort of the LeBron James thing where he kind of laid sprawled on the floor, but he was...
It changes the entire series.
When you see the replay, you realize why he's laying there.
It changes the entire series. He's out for the rest of the game. He may be out for subsequent games.
I mean, this guy, he could be out for his career.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. With this guy, anyone could be his
The Capitals... hold them in the five-minute circumstance. They don't score at all. Pittsburgh then, the Capitals score on a 5-on-3.
Pittsburgh negated a couple minutes of it with a stupid penalty of their own.
Right, right. Yeah. But the 5-on-3, the Capitals scored when they did not, once against Toronto, if we go back to that series.
Right.
They did not score. The Penguins got their game-tying goal, I believe it was early in the second period, negated because of an interference penalty. The Penguins are down 2-0, and this is... okay, this is the most important thing, because the Penguins pull their goalie, and in 2.5 minutes...
Well, I think they were in 48 seconds.
And score twice.
Yeah.
And they score twice, and they tie the game, and they send it to overtime. If you have the choking gene, you lose that game.
Yeah.
You definitely lose that game. But this guy, Shattenkirk, does not have the choking gene, because he just got here this year.
He had something to prove.
This is he'd been playing poorly, had no production at all.
As poor as
he gets
anyone.
The game-winning goal, and this is, to me... It feels to me like the turning point.
Sure,
doesn't it?
For the next 5 minutes.
Well, with playoff series, be it hockey or basketball, there's always that urge to there's that recency effect. You know, where this thing was over yesterday at this time.
Well, it would have been a 3-0.
At 2-0. Yeah, and it would have been.
Would have been.
And now, of course, they have new life at 2-1. But I would offer as a public service, and in fact, on behalf of Luke Russert. And others who take issue with the hardcore Caps fan base, I would say...
Who they accuse of drinking gas station wine.
Just this notion that, like... and I have caught some of this on just in social media in the last 12 hours, just this notion that, like, somehow, you know, we're back, baby, and it's this sort of notion of Caps entitlement. I mean, with or without Crosby, it is a tough row to hoe from here on out. I mean, it's not going to be easy. That team was flying around last night. I mean, the Penguins. The Caps were, too. Caps came out appropriately desperate and playing like it. I mean, I don't know how much of the game you watched.
Too full.
Okay. And it's looking like a great series. That game was as entertaining as any hockey game I've seen in a very long time.
Hockey, you watch action for long periods of time. It can be exhausting.
End to
end. But you know what Caps fans now remind me of? And we are one in my family. Remember Lucy and Charlie Brown? Where she'd hold the football, she'd
pull it away,
and he would go, A-R-G-G-G-H-H-H-H-H. This is Caps fans. At 5 minutes to go last night, Caps are up 2-0. I am losing my mind, flipping around in my chair, screaming. And Charlie, my son, is going, oh, stop. 5 minutes to go, two up. They're going to win. And all of a sudden, he's going, ah! And screaming and running from the room.
Well, caps are going to cap.
Yeah, Gary Braun put that tweet out that put the jinx on.
Yes, caps going to cap. And when that game went to overtime, I did a little, this is not scientific, but a little Twitter poll. Seriously, does anyone think this is a Caps win? Now, granted, it's only going to be seen by people who are following me. But of the 100-plus votes that came in 5 minutes, it was 83-17 in favor of Call of Vet dogs choking. I mean,
scientific.
So this is truly a 50-50 proposition at that point. You have a tie game going to overtime, and there was just no confidence.
They won it. And a guy who's not been around, one guy, I don't know how many people on the Caps have not been around from massive chokes before, but this guy hasn't been around.
Guy who was
and he won it,
but did anybody happen to watch Channel 4 last night? Because I was so wound
after
up.
After the game?
After the game. No. I wound up, for another 2 hours. So the thing they've been talking about the Caps is, oh, these guys who are wearing the jerseys today, they weren't around that many years ago.
Well, they were around last year.
They're not right.
Most of them.
So
yeah, but last year they lost to the Penguins.
On Channel 4, and I can't remember which one it was, but one of the women on Channel 4 was saying that Holtby was quoted as saying he talked to a sports psych guy.
The sports psych guy
said the puck doesn't know it's a playoff. So clearly Holtby has been thinking about playoff pressure is different than just a regular game.
He told Pierre Maguire that after the game. He said, I went to Edmonton to speak to her. I spoke to my sports psych guy in Edmonton, and he reminded me the puck doesn't know it's the playoffs. You know, the puck doesn't know it's a big game. Just do what you got to do.
That would also account for all the pucks behind him in the playoffs prior to this game, not knowing it was the playoffs and nestling in the goal.
The greatest line we heard Saturday night at the game, and the Caps fans were trying to hang in there, right? Trying. Somebody is screaming at Holtby, a Caps fan, saying, "Who are you and what did you do with Holtby?"
So I would point, I'm just going to point this out in sort of in a hopeful way. In the playoffs in hockey, this is not basketball. In basketball, many of the playoff games are not close. Some are, many are not. Just last night, Houston beat San Antonio by 27 points.
Wasn't that close.
And Cleveland won fairly handily in their game. But in hockey, it's very often, it's regularly, it's usually a one-goal game. Against Toronto, all six games were one-goal games, and five of them, I think, went to overtime.
Yeah.
The Caps won four one-goal games. If nothing else, they can win one-goal games. And they won one last night. They won a one-goal game.
Steve Sands texted me. This team is different. He likes the mental makeup of this team.
This, to me, is a very big deal. And the fact that Sidney Crosby is hurt changes everything. That everything that could happen good for the Washington Capitals last night happened good last night.
Yes, and though, that could just incite the Penguins to be, you know, that's their guy.
Could.
Can you take out our guy?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to lay down. You saw what Malkin did in that game.
You saw what Hornquist did, where he basically pulled a puck out of the goal that might have crossed the line and then basically helped set up those last two goals sitting in front of Holtby.
Now, Winnick had a similar save like that, as Tom Wilson did in the in that Maple Leafs series. But that game was really, really entertaining. I say that as not a diehard hockey fan, but as a Caps fan.
And the sad thing about that is that we've lost all of our listeners by talking about hockey.
Yeah, not really.
Listen, when we're on PTI, if we lead the show with hockey or we have a hockey interview, the sound you hear is people turning away.
I think your listeners like to hear, I think they revel in your Capital angst.
I think they would have liked a Monday rant, not a Tuesday sort of.
I don't know the Caps winning.
Well, I would have ranted if they went down 3-0.
I think people are rooting for a loss just to hear what you would say.
Well, you know, but they didn't lose. And I mean, and you watch that game early in
that game. They choked and won somehow.
Yeah, yes. You watch that game early in the game when they don't give up goals and you just say, you know what? They're going to win tonight. Now, if they lose that game, they still have to. You go down 0-2, you have to win 4 out of 5.
Yes.
That's very tough to do. Yep. And in this particular case, three of those games that you have to win, well, you don't have to win them all, but they're on enemy ice.
Right.
Yep.
It's hard. But if you go down 3-0, it's over. Wilbon made this crazy point yesterday on PTI in which he said, well, maybe they need to lose Game 3, so they're in that Boston Red Sox situation where they beat the Yankees. I said, are you actually advocating this? That going down 3-0 is a good thing?
That's insane.
You know.
So I have a theory that hockey fans are more superstitious than other fans. the number of people,
talismans and amulets, yes.
including people who are related to me, feathers. Who, when the game's not going well, will start changing, like turn the jersey inside out.
I think that's true.
Put the shoes on opposite
feet. Is that
right?
You're talking about a sport where in Detroit they used to throw octopi on the ice.
Right. Yeah.
So that would speak to some level of superstition.
The, Saturday night, the giveaway, so they've done cowbells, which really hurt my finger, and they did the light-up sticks, and then Saturday night was handing out the towels. And it's against the Penguins, right? So we're waiting for the game to start. The crowd's going wild, and they're waving little towels. And I said, I don't know if this is really good to be doing against the Penguins, because Pittsburgh started the towels, as we know.
The terrible towel, Myron Cope.
I don't know if this is good. And a Caps fan turned around and said, what? And I said, yeah, the towel started years ago in Pittsburgh. Puts his towel down and was very upset that everyone was waiting.
DC has a bad record with playoff towels. The Nats always give out the towel. We always lose.
I look around today. I am in my Johnny O shirt. Gary in a Johnny O shirt. Michael in a Masters shirt. Right?
My Johnny O vest.
Johnny O vest, so that works. So we're trying to sell some product for everybody. We will take a break. When we come back, we will continue with this hockey madness with Neil Greenberg. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the SeatGeek ad, and apropos of what Heather had sent to us, that she used the SeatGeek app in order to get her family tickets to a Cavs-Wizards game.
That's
so
right.
It can be done.
Buying
tickets
Wizards.
Can be Cavs-Wizards.
Oh, I thought you said Caps no, Wizards.
That would have been a good game.
Caps Wizards. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to your favorite team's games. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Whether you want to catch a baseball game or some playoff hockey or basketball, SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. Oh, they took out the entertainment part, so this is new copy. I'm reading it and realizing it's new copy. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence, and it does not end with sports. SeatGeek also has plenty of concert, comedy, and theater tickets available, too. Best of all, listeners to this particular podcast get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. And what you do is you download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek. The SeatGeek app, you enter the promo code Tony today, TONY. That's promo code 20, Tony, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. I got a little tired there on that read at my
More
age.
More coffee.
At my age.
You were up late watching tired. Two periods.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is submitted by our friend Brandon S. Bowker, singer-songwriter in Lexington, Kentucky, and he writes, having previously sent solos, singer-songwriter fare, I thought I'd forward a few tracks from past bands of mine, a portion for Reuben and a Parliament of Owls. This is from a Parliament of Owls, which is a great name for anything.
Bowker.
That's me on vocals, electric guitars, blues harp, and on Ruin, I play everything, including cello and squawky fiddle.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. That's like Paul McCartney and the Paul McCartney debut album. Although it's not Paul McCartney, it's Brandon S. Bowker.
Yeah, it's probably the first and last time they've ever been compared.
Well, I'm sure.
No offense, Brandon.
I'm sure that makes Brandon happy. Yeah. Neil Greenberg joins us now. Neil Greenberg, Gary pointed out today that Neil Greenberg. See, I don't look at Twitter and the Facebook.
Though you're a twit.
Yeah, I don't look at these things. But Gary pointed out, Greenberg, on your Twitter site, you say, I'm a geek, not a nerd, and there is a difference. Before we talk about geeky and nerdy things, could you please explain that to the hundreds of people that might be listening?
Yeah, so if you think about it, like a nerd has no social graces whatsoever, but you and I are friends.
Yes.
So you can see clearly that I have some social skills and not just some introvert
some
sitting
minimal.
In my mom's basement. So
right.
Therefore, I'm a geek that's obsessed about sports and analytics, but I'm able to talk to people without
drooling.
You know, going
no pocket
into
protector.
A coma.
Right. Without drooling and looking away from them. Can't look
there
them in the
go.
Eye. Let me get to the Caps. Let me get to the Caps right away, because you have been in the position of saying that you felt the Caps would beat the Penguins. In a 2-0 series going back to Pittsburgh for the first time, it looked, I won't say hopeless, because, you know, a game three is a game three, but it certainly looked bad. Early in the game, the Penguins blew like a million chances. They had, I know they didn't have Crosby, but they had 4 or 5 minutes of power plays. They didn't score. The Caps then scored on a 5-on-3. And then early, I believe, in the second period, there was the goal reversal. And so I had no faith that the Penguins would win this. I thought the Caps were going to win this and go to 2-1 as they did. What was your look, when you looked at that, did you feel the same way?
Well, I thought Washington would win the game going in only because they had to. I mean, there was no way that they can out of this game without a win. I thought they played well. I thought Holtby played much better than he did in either of the first two games. And they can't win without Braden Holtby playing very well. I mean, Pittsburgh has too many weapons, even without Crosby. They still have Kessel. They still have Malkin. They still have a lot of speedy players that can get behind the defense. So I thought that Washington would win. And once Pittsburgh had to deal with the Crosby injury, I thought better about it. And then they, like you said, they killed that 5-minute penalty. Yeah. They scored on the 5-on-3, which I think without exaggeration could very well be the biggest power play goal in the Ovechkin era for this team. It was a goal that they just needed to have. And I thought that they played a little bit better. There's still some issues there, but you know, all in all, they came out with a win, which they had to. I mean, there was just no other option at this point.
In your mind, does this change everything, or in your mind, would you say no, it doesn't? Because I thought they were going to win to begin with.
Well, the road's much harder. I mean, the Sidney Crosby injury certainly changes things. You look at the concussion history that Crosby has had. You look at the injury history he's had. He had trouble skating, just skating around the last time he had a concussion. It was a pretty hard hit that he took from Matt Niskanen. I don't think it was a dirty hit, but it was still a hard hit that made him wobbly. I personally would be surprised if Crosby came back for this series. And in addition to the concussion, if you look at the hit, it starts with a slash from Ovechkin on the shoulder that causing Crosby to fall.
Lose balance,
But if you look at the fall, his left knee turns in a way that I don't think left knees are supposed to turn. So I think that there may be more than just a concussion there, but that's just me looking at the play like everybody else.
Let me go backwards on this, and I don't know if your expertise allows you to comment on it, but that's why we do this show. You can say whatever you want. Trotz pulled Holtby in game two at 3-2. I mean, this guy's like the best goalie in the league, right? And he pulled him. The score was only 3-2. Why in God's name would you do that?
Because Holtby was terrible. Holtby was,
and that was obvious to everyone, but me.
It was obvious to me.
Okay.
I'm not saying that as like a humble brag, which wasn't so humble. But when you look at what made Holtby successful up until that point, up until the Pittsburgh series, he played very tight in his cage, and that was one of the first things that I remember Mitch Korn, the goaltender coach, telling Braden Holtby in training camp when he first got here. He was working on Holtby in terms of how far he deviates in net and not to stray too far and to kind of control what he can control. But what we saw with Holtby during those first two games was going a little bit too far out, cheating, playing the pass a little bit more than the shooter than he should have, and as a result was giving up a lot of soft goals. So I agreed with pulling him. I think that at some point you have to try to put yourself in a position to win the game, and Holtby wasn't the guy that night. It's not to take away from anything that he's done up until that point, but in the first two games of the series, Holtby did not look good, and they need Holtby to look good. So Barry Trotz pulled him. I agreed with that move. The one thing I didn't agree with, if I was the coach, immediately at the post-game presser, I would have said, Holtby's our guy for game two. Not we'll see what
game
happens.
Three.
We'll talk about it. You say right there and then, I pulled him, but you know what? He's my guy for the next game. He's going to be up to the task. We're ready to go.
So that leads to this question. There was a players-only meeting. They are always interesting. And I'm wondering if you had a sense that the players-only meeting was at least partially about dissatisfaction with Trotz.
I don't know what it was.
Nobody knows.
I don't know if Trotz did anything wrong necessarily. I mean, I think pulling Holtby was the right. I think if you asked Holtby, he would say that he was playing like poo-poo.
Okay. All right. You know. All right. So you've got Crosby probably not returning for the rest of the series.
And I would like the Caps if you did.
Yeah, you like the Caps anyway. So you got the Caps moving on at this point, right, Neil?
I have the Caps tying it up 2-2, and then we'll see what it is. This is a hard series to predict. I hate making prediction on this series.
That's your job.
Don't make me do it.
That's why we
don't
have you. That's why you're on.
I know, but tie me on again, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right, let me go to the Nats, because I'm very interested in the Nats. And this is from an analytical point of view and a numbers point of view. I don't want this to sound stupid, but scoring 23 runs and getting 23 hits, is that good or bad? Because I've seen teams have an offensive display like that and then just go into the tank. I've seen this.
Yeah, this I'm okay with making a prediction on. That's not going to last. I don't think that we're going to see 20 runs. But you know what? You're right. Because when you look at it, baseball is a game of averages, right? So if there's 20 runs in one game, chances are there's going to be zero runs in a lot more games than perhaps you might expect, right?
Yes.
And so I'm with you there in terms of those 20 runs have to come somewhere because, look, Bryce Harper is not going to bat flirt with 400 the whole year. You know, Daniel Murphy could very well be a 340 hitter. They lost Adam Eaton, who was a table setter in the number one, number two spot.
Zimmerman won't win the Triple Crown.
He won't.
Right. So, you know, Rendon, you know, you're right, you know, had a 6-for-6 night, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs. Obviously, that's a fluke. But, yeah, I'm agreeing with you in terms of baseball is a game of averages, and that's going to have to be paid down the line somewhere in a negative way because the Nationals aren't the second coming of Murderer's Row. So there's going to be some lulls, and maybe now we see lulls that are a little bit lower, maybe a little bit longer later in the season.
I brought this up internally yesterday, and I want to ask you because numbers are meaningful to you. In the seventh and eighth innings, rather, the Mets put a third-string catcher out there to pitch because they'd given up on the game. They didn't want to waste arms. I understand that. But he gave up 4 home runs, and one of them was to Rendon, who, by virtue of that home run, and I don't care the 3 in a game because a lot of people have had 3 in a game. A lot of people have had 4 in a game. But that gave him 10 RBI in one game, which is a franchise record. And I'm wondering if you think there should be an asterisk next to that 10 RBI because he was not facing a pitcher. He's just facing some guy. I mean, my son felt yesterday that he had a chance to hit one out on that guy. You know, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, it wouldn't – see, I'll say no because if it was a 16-inning game and you had no choice but to put a catcher out there,
right,
it would still count the same. So I don't think that there should be an asterisk at that point. Look, I grew up in Queens, New York, so what the Mets are doing right now is a little bit more painful to watch. But I'm okay with Rendon. You know, if you look at it, every single NL player of the week has come at the expense of the Mets. So, you know, they deserve what they get, I think, at this point. So, no asterisk from me.
All right, I'm going to go back and what we talked about before, what you talked about. You say that they're not Murderer's Row, but they are Murderer's Row right now. Trey Turner and Bryce Harper and, amazingly to me, Ryan Zimmerman and Daniel Murphy are Murderer's Row right now. But as you point out, Adam Eaton is gone. I don't know that there's a lot of faith in Michael A. Taylor as somebody who you want to be your starting center fielder all the time. And I don't know that if you look at these averages that you think, well, certainly in the case of Ryan Zimmerman, you go, wow, this is really different. This is really important. How long will this last? So when they come back to Earth, the two problems that the team has to me are replacing Adam Eaton and their bullpen. I mean, it's easy to close out a game when you're up 23-5. This is not hard. But their bullpen is not good, and they've already, in the first 10 days of a season, they dumped a closer, and they're struggling with that. What do you make of that? What do the numbers tell you?
Well, I agree with you. I think if Michael Taylor was the future, Adam Eaton probably isn't here. The bullpen is as bad as it looks, and historically, it's very difficult for teams to overcome that. You look at some of the best hitting teams with some of the worst bullpens, and they're still only 70 win teams. Now, the Nats have the benefit of being in the NL East, and the Mets are imploding and probably not gonna vie for the division. So that is the good news. But yeah, the bullpen's a big problem. And you look at just how baseball is evolving. The bullpens are becoming more important, right? You're looking for guys that.
That's how Kansas City won a world championship.
Exactly. That's why Andrew Miller was so valued because he can put out fires. And you're, like you said, you're not going to score 20 runs in a game. You're going to score two, and you're going to try, you're going to have to win these 3-2 games, these 3-1 games. You're going to have somebody in the bullpen to depend on, because look, the Nationals pitching staff, the starters, are not without injury risk too, right? Scherzer had a problem last year. Strasburg seems to have a problem almost every year. So there's going to be situations where either they can't go the distance, or you may have a fill-in that you don't trust to go the distance. So you absolutely need a bullpen. I think the bullpen is a major concern that's being masked right now by
the hitting.
But it's going to come to roost. And if you're the Nationals, I think now is the time to look to shore up the problem, and not later on when you're closer to some type of panic mode.
Good job out of you, Neil. Good. I mean, for a geek, that was very good.
I'm going to put that on my Twitter bio.
Please do that. Neil Greenberg, boys and girls. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Nigel in news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep surface was developed in-house. It has a sleek design, and it is delivered in a small, how-did-they-do-that sized box. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to the consumer. Buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third of your life on it. Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars, it's quickly becoming the Internet's favorite mattress. There's free shipping and returns in the United States and Canada. And if you try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home, and then you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. It is designed, developed, and assembled in the United States of America, and you can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/Tony. And Casper is spelled C-A-S-P-E-R. Use the promo code Tony. Let's do it again. www.casper.com/Tony. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Tom Logano, who writes, I was the sometimes guitar player for your beloved Roy Battelle and the Altones. Not a full-time member, but I did a bunch of gigs with them and Larry Boozer. The sax player still tunes my piano, and yes, I have one, as well as with Sydney's orchestras, two musical outfits I believe you know well. Hopefully this gives me enough street cred for you to take a listen to my tracks. Not a full-time member, did a bunch of gigs with them. A full-time jazz classical musician in the D.C. metro area, have also performed a handful of times with both the National and Baltimore Symphonies. This is called Patuxent. It's up-tempo. It's Tom Logano.
Yeah,
and
nice.
You can listen to all of it at the end of the show because that's what we do.
Right.
Cut them off here.
This is a long song, by the way.
Yeah, so enjoy that.
It'll be about 7.5 minutes.
Is it perilously close to jazz?
It's perilously close to jazz, but anybody who ever played with Roy Battelle and the Altones is very, very
that's family.
High up. Yeah.
Okay.
For me.
Saw Roy live once.
My bar mitzvah. Yeah.
Michael's bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, more than that. I mean, he played a book signing and he played at that. Michael, if people want to submit their music, their original music, how do they do it?
As always, they can send it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And if they want to avail themselves of some of the gear that we're selling?
I ask them to visit shop.tonykornheisershow.com, where there's still a discount for the hats and sweatshirts.
Which is a good deal.
Cold spell in the Midwest.
People in the Midwest,
they buy sweatshirts.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Was it Roy Battelle, one of the Tuskegee Airmen?
Yes, he was.
Indeed.
Yes, he was.
Great
he had a great and long life. Great and long life. Nigel has news for us. Before we do news, let me just say one more time. You have the ability to come see us if you want. It doesn't mean you should. But you have the ability to come see us at Chatter. We're in the atrium on the upper floor on the corner of Wisconsin and Jennifer Streets Northwest in the capital of the United States.
And maybe the door will be open for you.
It opens at 8. It opens today. It opens for breakfast, not Wednesday. Wednesday will be the only day it doesn't open for breakfast, but we're going to build a breakfast crowd that doesn't even have anything to do with us. We're going to sell breakfast. We've got a sign and everything, you know. Wednesday this week, you can't come, Maureen points out. Yes, that's the last day. You can come every day after that for breakfast.
Weekends early too? Reviews of breakfast, huh? Very
weekends
good.
Weekends too?
Well, they've always had brunches on Sunday and I think Saturday as okay. well. Yes.
The chili not available for breakfast, right?
Not available. Wilbon's much chili. To Wilbon's yes. chagrin.
Exactly. Chili omelet.
I have people who... my attorney, Jared Levine, wants to come. He's going to be here in a couple of weeks and insists on having the Wilbon chili. I said, go ahead. You know, knock yeah. yourself yeah. out. We have other things on the menu, but if you want that, you have that. It's fine.
World famous Wilbon's chili.
Well, in Wilbon's world. Yes. Yes. You have news.
Yes, I do indeed, Mr. Tony. And we will start out with the NBA.
By the way.
Good job, Nigel.
Yesterday, yes. I got home from the PTI show. And I turned on Channel 4 News, and Leon
yes!
was anchoring.
Right.
Yes.
Leon
same
looked
thing.
Great.
Who will be in with us tomorrow?
And Leon yeah, looked great.
It looks great, sounds great.
Very exciting
looks
for me.
Looks very happy.
It was a David Aldridge moment for me to see Leon on TV, though why I should feel that way is always beyond.
Oh, I didn't know he was an anchor.
Yeah.
Like, that's if you were
yeah.
surprised.
Yeah.
So. Yes, you mentioned some NBA schools. Just to touch on them again, to give the finals from last night, Houston just destroyed San Antonio, 126.
In San Antonio.
Yeah, yeah. 99.
In San Antonio.
The game was 69-39 at half.
Now, the least impactful game in a best of seven is game one.
Yeah.
But still, that's a big number.
But it's not insignificant when the road team is winning game one. I mean, typically they'll say a series hasn't started until someone's won on the road.
Houston
so the series
Houston
is officially
San
underway.
Antonio had the second and Houston had the third best record. San Antonio the second best record in all of basketball. Mm-hmm. This is and the Houston Oklahoma City series was very good.
Yeah,
Houston's fun
yeah,
to watch.
And was there a comment by the Warriors? I think I saw this that they were disappointed that the Clippers lost because, as they said, there's no nightlife in Utah.
No, there wasn't. It's not by the Warriors. That was by the fool Matt Barnes.
Oh, okay.
That's one guy okay. who just got to the Warriors this year.
Okay,
right.
So they pointed out the basketball Matt Barnes.
Yes,
every
not
sport
the
has
Boston
a Matt
Red
Barnes.
Sox. Everybody's got a Matt Barnes. This is that Matt Barnes.
Right, that Matt Barnes.
And I'm sure that didn't go over all that well in his locker room.
Probably not.
Right.
The other game last night, Cleveland.
By the way, just to interject on the Golden
wow,
State Warriors.
Switch to decaf.
Well, it is decaf. Just to interject on the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green has said they believe, or he believes anyway, that Steve Kerr's done for the whole playoffs. That's a big
wow.
loss.
Wow.
I mean, Mike Brown is a professional coach, but Steve, that's a big loss. Your head coach isn't
yes,
going to coach
is.
Your games.
Come now, on. If he were gone for the whole. All the playoffs, do you think that he comes back next year, or do you think this is game over for
I
him?
Think he'll try one more time to come back, and if it doesn't work, I He's think done. That's it. He doesn't need it.
Shame.
He's had a great
He really has.
Career.
Really has. Yes, Cleveland 116-105 over Toronto after a week off the Cavs had. Well, I guess that's what you get when you sweep in the first round.
Yeah, that was another
what
game
they got.
Not as close as it appeared. I think
LeBron James, 35, Kevin Love, 18, Kyrie Irving, 24. They combined for 77 points wow. of 116, and the best two players on Toronto, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry got 39 out of 105. So that Cleveland's going to win.
Yeah.
Cleveland's better than they
yeah,
are.
Yeah, Cleveland was up 20-something after three
Cleveland,
in that game.
Oddly enough, the Wizards have a chance against Cleveland. They have a chance against
sure.
Cleveland. I don't think that – I don't think Boston does.
Although Cleveland
– I think Kyrie Irving can take
– 3 weeks yeah, ago, everyone was wondering what's wrong with Cleveland
That's
and
right.
Cleveland's limping
mm-hmm.
in. And then they've done then what
they
championship teams says, do. Yeah.
We wait to the playoffs, yes.
Yeah.
We all think that they'll make it to the – Eastern Conference Finals. Tori, you've got your hand up.
Before you move off basketball,
yes.
Could I just do a shout-outs last question on John Wall?
Sure.
He's a big-time player now, right?
He
I don't
is.
Know much about basketball, but I only watch at the end of the season. But he's a big-time player.
He is a big-time player.
He has just been showing up every single time.
He got. I don't want to say embarrassed, but he came in second in game one mm-hmm. by a wide margin to Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
He had 8 turnovers and needed 20 shots to get 20 points. Isaiah Thomas had 2 turnovers and needed 23 shots to get 33 points. So that was not the best of John Wall that we have seen. But he has been better this year by a wide margin than ever before.
And yeah. based on what we have seen, I would expect John Wall to show up. Is that tonight, game two for the Wiz?
No.
Tomorrow?
No, it's tomorrow. I don't know.
I know they stretch it out. To Tori's point, he has had a great playoffs.
We are yelled at by the people yeah, here
tonight.
That it's tonight.
Yeah, we might
tonight.
Want to fix that on the show, Nigel, that nobody sitting at this table knew that the Wizards
I
were
can't
tonight.
Memorize
well,
schedules.
We'll just fix that in post.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
To baseball. Noah Syndergaard is on the 10-day DL after an MRI revealed a partial tear of his right lat muscle. And you say, oh, well, that seems, yeah, okay, he took an MRI. Well, this comes after he had refused to take an MRI last week. Now, Sandy Alderson has said, now, I guess after, you know, he had felt some discomfort, and they said, well, you should take an MRI.
It was in a bicep. Okay. He missed a start because of a bicep problem.
He knows
problem.
His own body.
Right. And that's what he said. The quote from Noah Syndergaard is, I'm pretty much in tune with my own body.
Well, clearly he wasn't.
And the quote from the GM, Sandy Alderson, is, we can't tie him down and put him in the MRI tube.
Yeah.
I think we should talk about this, because I think this is not surgery. It's not invasive. I think a team has every right to say you're taking an MRI.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've lived in Washington too long, land of lawyers. I'm kind of shocked that it's not written into their contracts, that if the team doctor or somebody in management says you must get this checked out, they can't force them to do it.
Again, you're not operating on the guy. Yeah.
Well, the only
mean?
Question is, if you are looking at a new contract, if you would avoid getting any sort of review or
point.
MRI, just because that takes away your leverage. But for this in-season, it seems like you
good
should
point.
Be able to request that of a player.
Noah Syndergaard had the fastest average speed of any pitcher in the majors last year. It was 97.9. He threw a million pitches. 97.9 was the average. Over the winter, he gained 23 pounds of muscle with the stated goal to get faster.
Ooh.
Your body can't, you just can't do it. You can't take it. It's one thing to throw 102 when you're only asked to throw 12 pitches in a game. I think it's a disastrous recipe.
Did you see Sandy Alderson's comments, the GM? He said, let me make it clear.
He said it was his decision.
It was my decision for Noah to pitch. It was with input from a variety of different sources,
that's
including
right.
Noah himself.
Okay.
The MRI was not dismissed out of hand simply because Noah said he wouldn't do it. I made
well,
the decision
his previous
based on
quote
most recent medical
was that.
Yeah.
His previous quote was, I
so
can't tie him down. So this is contradictory quotes at this point.
By
and
the way,
after the fact.
By the way, they're expecting him to be out for quite a while with this lat injury.
Yeah, that makes it hard to pitch, I would think.
Yes.
Plotnicki can still pitch.
Yeah, that's right. They bring the third-string catcher back out there. He was pretty effective.
He did great.
Bryce he was as effective as Smoker, that other guy who was out there.
He gave up
two to Weeders.
Staying with baseball, the Orioles and the Red Sox played last night up in Boston. This is, I believe, the first game after all the fracas from
Matt Barnes.
After the hullabaloo.
Their Matt Barnes, threw at the head of Manny Machado.
That's right.
Machado had a huge home run last night. They beat the Red Sox 5-2. And in that game, Dylan Bundy, the pitcher for the Orioles, hit Mookie Betts of the Red Sox
Why?
In the left hip.
Yeah, that's a message.
Mm. Yeah, and Mookie Betts
must have gotten away from
Mookie
him.
Betts didn't say anything, just walked slowly to the plate or to the first base, and, you know, there was no retaliation from the Red Sox and no comments. They're like, hey,
no.
This is just the game.
Well, the tip-off to that was when all of that happened with Machado, and Buck Showalter was asked about it, and he had every reason to go crazy. What he said was, hey, we're just playing baseball. It's okay. We're playing baseball. So you knew he was going to hit somebody was going to hit somebody.
Right. Somebody's going
to play. Yeah.
Does the manager tell them who to hit? Whom to hit? Who to hit?
Ooh, I don't know.
I think they usually know, but maybe a pitching coach would say. I believe that managers want to have plausible deniability, and they don't really have it.
Gotcha.
This is all strategically decided.
What I wonder if ever happens is if a pitching coach or manager says, you know, plunk guy XYZ, and the pitcher says, no, I'm not doing that.
He might. That might happen.
Yeah. Do you think anyone told Bob Gibson who to hit? Or do you think he's like, I'll figure that out myself?
Bob Gibson, he figured it out.
We'll go to Louisiana right now.
Don't care about it anymore. Much more important is the fight on the plane.
Oh, you want to do the fight on the plane?
Let's do the fight on the plane. The fight on the plane led the Today Show. It was the first story on the Today Show.
We're not sure what caused this. One of the passengers in an All Nippon Airways, appeared to be drunk, and they exchanged words before the plane took off.
The plane hasn't left the ground, and two guys are in an actual fist fight.
Yes.
Nice.
Plenty of video
of
a fist fight.
Apparently one of them streaming this show loudly without headphones, and the other was irritated.
Is that what happened?
May have been the start.
Everyone trying to defuse the situation, a baby crying, and still they were, you know, fist
fighting. Oh, the humanity.
Yes.
This is on a day when Oscar Munoz, the CEO of United, is being called to testify before Congress. When you are a person like that and you're called to testify before Congress, as Tory well knows, you're eviscerated.
Bad day.
You're crushed. 5, 6, 8 people get up there and just say, let me ask you this. And every question is pointed and made to embarrass him and made to embarrass the senator from one of the senators from Connecticut, Richard Blumenthal, who had a little trouble in his own past history of figuring out whether he was in Vietnam or not. I saw him. I saw him on the news today saying there's going to have to be, you know, a bill of rights for passengers. So you know what he's going to do to this guy, right, Tori? Those are terrible, terrible times.
Yeah, he's just lucky it's early part of the week. Get it over with. Take your licks. Move on.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So. I mean, this is and one of the reasons it is said that this happens is most airlines now have shortened the width of their seats. They're jamming in as many people as possible, and they like to leave with totally full planes. You're scoffing, and your look is scoffing.
I think in this case it had more to do with the alcohol being served or over-served
than
the size
of the
seats.
Alcohol-fused.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but,
but there are fights all the time.
Yeah. Oh, there aren't fights
there
all
are
the time.
People all the time who stick their knees out and smash the people in front of them for leaning back.
You don't
have this problem in your seat, neither do I.
No.
But in the village... In the village, this happens.
You have to use the handbag like Gene.
Yeah.
Under 4 hours, I'm a coach girl. I just refuse to pay. Even if it's my company, I don't want them to pay. If it's
How
less than a
noble
few hours.
Of you.
It's not noble. I'm just cheap. But no, there aren't fights all the time. It's just with cell phones now, when there are fights, we all get to watch it. Now, what I'm looking forward to is... I hope tomorrow Jeff Rosen does a segment of the Today Show about what to do if a fight breaks out on your flight.
Yeah, because he's done
turbulence.
Anything
that happens, then he tells you he's done turbulence. Now
done
we'll
turbulence,
move on to fights.
He could do that.
They were fighting like girls, by the way. Did you see the punches they were
I did. I've not seen the actual video. This was not a Mike Tyson fight. This was
they were drunk.
They were drunk.
But they were throwing.
Throwing haymakers. Yeah.
They were missing them, but they were throwing them. And one guy, the guy in green, was screaming, "This guy's crazy.
Get him off
the
plane.
Get him out of here."
Didn't the guy yell something about the government? No, it's the government that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy in the red shirt screamed something about the guy.
The red shirt guy was the guy. He was apparently the protagonist in this whole thing.
Well, he was arrested after the incident and charged with assault. Yes, so there you go.
All right, so we will take a break right now. I'm going to do a read when we come, not when we come back, but we were going to come back with Old Guy Radio.
That's right.
And we all have stories to tell, and mostly me. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
We're getting very near Mother's Day. Is Mother's Day Saturday? Is it
usually Saturday?
It's the 12th, I think.
Yes, it's next weekend.
Oh, it's not this weekend?
Yeah, it's the 12th.
Correct.
I thought it was this weekend.
Sunday.
Is it Sunday?
Yes.
It's this Sunday or next Sunday?
It is next Sunday.
Okay.
I can
well, we're doing the Books read because it's that's a big...
So you have time.
Big flower sale day
is
Mother's Day. Sending flowers has always been the best way to show someone you care, but if you're the one doing the sending, it isn't always easy or satisfying. You are lured in with a $19.99 advertised price, and when you check out, it's $94. What happened? There are hidden fees that leave you with a big bill and an even bigger disappointment when your flowers show up looking different than in the pictures, and they only last a few days. Books.com is a better way to buy flowers. The Books company offers fully transparent pricing, an easy, affordable shopping experience, and an incredible curated selection of flowers starting at $40, including free delivery. Each book is sustainably farmed and comes straight from the grower to the customer, meaning your flowers last longer and they cost less to buy. This year, show every mom in your life you care with flowers from the Books company, and a special offer for all littles. You order now, you get 20% off. Now, the flower's going to sell out, so don't wait. Just visit Books.com, enter the code Tony, T-O-N-Y, for 20% off your Mother's Day purchase. That's B-O-U-Q-S.com, code Tony at checkout. That's a very reasonable
Good deal.
Deal. Yeah. Very reasonable deal.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Monday Monday by the Mamas and Papas. This was number one 51 years ago. In terms of critical commentary, we're playing songs before it got icky with that group.
Oh, yes.
You know, and this song, they were a great group. Nigel, you told me this was their only number one song, and the people who sang it hated it.
Yeah, John Phillips wrote this in 20 minutes, and to sort of celebrate like the worker man, like everybody's average common experience about Monday and how much they hate it, everyone in the group was like, this song is dreck. Mama Cass hated singing it. They only sang it live once because it just didn't work for them live, and it ended up being the biggest hit ever.
Bigger than California Dreamin'?
California Dreamin' only got to number four.
Wow.
Although I think you and I would both say that California Dreamin' is a better and bigger song than this
Yes, yes, I would think so. But it's a good tune.
It's a nice song.
John Phillips, it's just though
it yeah, just... Yeah, it's just, yeah. It takes
we're
a,
not even going to go
takes
into
a bad
that.
Turn.
Not going to even go into that. So I'm watching television this morning, and we had made comments. Do you remember last week? There's that new Gatorade commercial with Paul George.
Yes.
In which Paul George is standing out on a court.
he seems to have found the Matrix and right. can stop time. And,
yeah. throws up the shot, and he goes game over and walks off the court.
No overtime tonight.
But before the shot goes through the net, and then you see him drinking Gatorade. And this is sort of embarrassing, I would think, considering in those circumstances, in game-tying or game-winning shots throughout his career, Paul George is 2-for-32. Like, he's one of the worst big-time performers of anybody, and why Gatorade picked him was a little surprising. So today I'm watching television, and there is a similar commercial with Patrick Kane. Patrick Kane of the Chicago Blackhawks, mm-hmm. who shoots the puck, goes game over, skates languidly off the
What's
ice.
What's his stat on game-winning shots?
Well, I can tell you this, that they were swept by the number 8 seed right. in the first round of the playoffs this year. So whoever is in charge
of... Well, hitching to Kane, I can understand, though.
He has a few cups.
You know, he's got cups. They were a number 1 seed. I mean, I can get that.
It looks a little embarrassing now.
Yeah, right.
It looks a little embarrassing now.
Yes.
So the guy in charge of sort of procuring athletic talent for Gatorade looks pretty stupid with Paul George and Patrick Kane.
I would have to
agree. Maybe
I have an in at Gatorade Marketing.
You what?
I have an in at Gatorade Marketing.
Would they sponsor the show?
Really?
Yes.
Who?
Do you remember Ice Cream Corey?
I do remember Ice Cream Corey.
Yeah, he works at Gatorade.
Well, you bet he's got
to get it. That's not to be confused with Bridgestone Corey, who is now Cigar Corey.
Corey
Ice Cream
no
Corey went to college with Liz.
Okay.
Yes, he got us ice cream. I asked for
that. Liz College Corey.
Yeah. That's good. Well, you should get the scoop on why they have Paul George, who can't hit those shots, and Patrick Kane, whose team is no longer actually in the playoffs and looks very embarrassing.
But isn't this an effective marketing campaign?
You think Gatorade
campaign?
Can survive?
Yeah, Gatorade, will survive.
It was a good ad campaign because you're still talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just making fun of it, though.
But I guess this is my point. You could have made fun of the George pick regardless of what they did in the play. That just didn't make sense. It's not what he does.
Yeah, he's not good at it. So when I told the story of being in the flight simulator, I didn't tell you another, it's not so much a story, but I got to, when I was in Atlanta with Delta, with Anthony Black, he took me to Delta, and I guess a lot of airlines do this, but I know that Delta does this. They have charters, they have sports charters. And you'd be amazed at how often these planes are up in the air with teams. They do basketball and they do baseball charters. And the planes are completely remade in the interior. So that these are 757s, which are pretty big planes.
Yes. Wow.
And they are outfitted for maybe 60 seats or something like that. And each seat is enormous. I mean, they're really, really nice.
Athlete size.
Yeah. I'm not a good flyer, but these things look great. You go from cabin to cabin to cabin and they all look great. What I was told that was so interesting.
Now they're generic. These aren't like team. They're not like team branded.
No, but you know what they do? There's a little spot as you walk into the plane for you to put your team logo, so
cool.
that you know
nice.
That
right.
night.
Just Velcro it up.
Yeah,
or
you're flying with that. This is your plane
cool.
for that night, and they have rotating crews. I mean, you're always going to see every third flight. You're going to see somebody you know, a pilot or a flight attendant or something like that. It's very specialized. But what I was intrigued by is I was told that when the basketball teams fly in the first cabin, and you could say it's first class, but all the seats are the same. In the first cabin often are the players, and that the coaches are go into the second cabin and strategize, I guess, in the second cabin. I flew charters when I was covering sports, and mostly baseball charters. And the players never sit in the front in baseball. And in fact, the guy told me that they don't in these charters as well. The manager and the coaches sit in the front in baseball. The manager says, when we go. It's the same as on a bus where he goes, let's roll, Bussy. The manager gets on. He's the last one to board. And he says, let's go. And in baseball, the players move to the back. They automatically know to move to the back or the middle, and the coaches.
Or they drink and play cards.
I think they do.
Get into fights.
I think they do.
When this show has its own plane, you can sit in the front.
When the Detroit Lions, it may have been when Joe Barry was the defensive coordinator there in that winless season, they had like a fight, they had like an offense defense fight on the plane. Do you remember that?
No, I didn't know that.
I mean, just
I assume the offense would
have won. One player from each.
You know,
I don't think either would have won. They were 0 and whatever.
So I mentioned at the beginning of the of the show that my dog's head is enormous.
Yes.
How many dogs do you have?
Two.
Are the heads of the dogs enormous?
Is that... No, we have a small lab, a normal size corgi. He's all proportional.
So, okay, well, you would say this is true,
dwarf,
right,
dog.
Michael?
That
Chessie got groomed yesterday, so I was actually thinking her head looked a little smaller.
But
she's
got a big body. Of course she's going to have a big head.
She has, but her head, I believe, is disproportionately large.
Does she have a disproportionately large
brain?
Well,
she's got a very large brain, yes.
I don't know that. Maybe she does.
Or
I
mean, an ego?
It's hard
big
to say
ego?
Because we haven't talked that much, so I don't know. So she has a habit. She understands a few words, or at least the tone of the words. She may not understand the words. She doesn't understand sit, for example. She's not very good at that. She doesn't understand stay or anything like that.
Kind of the basics.
But she understands the word frisbee. She understands the word frisbee because I take her out in the yard, and I would like to throw the frisbee. We have 4 or 5 frisbees that she chews up. They're plastic. And what company makes them?
TurboDisc.
TurboDisc, okay. And you order them from Amazon.
They're great because they fly and then they roll after they land.
Is it like a dog frisbee?
Yes, it's a dog frisbee. It's a friendly frisbee for a dog because they can chew and bite.
They can chew it. They can bite it. It's made out of a plastic that has give to it. So the dog, you know, I'd like to throw the dog the frisbee, but the dog runs into the yard or wherever the frisbees are where she left them. She puts all of them in her mouth at the same time and runs around proudly in the yard. And I go, come here, leave the frisbees, all the commands that any trainer tells you to do. And the dog goes, no, I'm not going to do that. So I have to step on the dog's leash, wrestle the frisbees from the dog's mouth, and then throw them. You know, and she'll catch the first one, and then she'll just find the others. And I tire of the game quickly.
I have a theory that while you're doing this show, Chessie's sitting at home talking to her pals going, God, this idiot human I have, he has not learned anything.
This could be true.
He doesn't know the word frisbee. He doesn't
know. No, she knows frisbee. I know. Let's go play frisbee. Frisbee, she reacts.
So she's got you trained on that.
She reacts frisbee. She goes to the
door. She smiles with the frisbees in her mouth.
She does that.
I've seen a shot of that. I think
and she uses the frisbees to leverage one against the other so that she can actually hold 4 at one time.
5.
Big break.
She's up to 5.
5. She's like, all we have is 5. We used to... Frisbees get lost in the yard when she runs after rabbits. She just loses them in the brush, and you can't find them in any case. So she now has started to bring the Frisbee into the house and chew the Frisbee in
the house.
The
end of everything.
Okay. So Carol said, I don't want her to have the Frisbees in the house. And I said, "What? Really, what is the big deal? They're Frisbees. She likes to chew on them. Better she should chew on them than chew on you, right?
Right.
Which is what she does.
Yeah.
She's not hurting people when she's hurting Frisbees. And Carol said, it's just she eats the plastic. It's no good. And I go, what? Stop. What are you worried about? Last night in the
it's
middle
better
of
than Wegmans hash browns.
In the middle of the second period, the dog threw up.
Oh, no.
All over the dog's cage.
Oh, no.
Threw up all over the cage. 100 bits of plastic that she had eaten on the Frisbees, ingested the Frisbees, and vomited.
That's before the Penguins tied it.
Right. Yes, it is. And
rainbow colors?
Yes, a lot of colors.
Extraneous golf ball material.
Vomited the Frisbees out, so we had to clean that. I had to wipe down the cage and everything like that. So
worse, you had to eat crow.
So I, yes.
That's
so now,
the worst part of that.
Now
we've
I
all
know
been there.
I can't allow the dog to take the Frisbee into the house anymore.
Oh.
Because while she eats it outside, she can't gorge on it in the
same way.
She
doesn't chew furniture, though. She got, like, chew toys or something, right? She doesn't chew up
Michael, explain what she does when she has a chew toy. What happens to the chew toy if it's stuffed with cotton?
Well, like a dog will, she destroys it as quickly as she can just to get to the innards, which is just cotton.
Well, I didn't mean like
cotton
a plush
and the squeaky
toy,
thing.
But don't they have like those old like knots that used to be made out of like dried animal skin
so
or something?
There are these big Kong balls that you can put treats in and it rolls around. And it sounds like she's dropping bowling balls because she just swats them around the floor.
Puts them in her mouth, drops them like a seagull would do with a clam. Just drops it on the ground till it breaks
open. Or a
seal,
smashing it with a rock.
And she eats, you find her eating. The first thing she attacks is if you buy anything with noise in it, the little plastic things that make the noise.
She'll find that.
She roots them out, finds them, and tries to eat and swallow those. So you have to stick your hand, once she gets inside of it, you are then spending the next week sticking your hand in the dog's mouth, pulling out all the junk that the dog wants to eat. And I mean, Chessie is an average dog in the sense that she's a large dog, but not a gigantic dog. I can't imagine she's stronger than every other dog.
Big paws. Well,
why don't you make a toy that you can't just rip open literally in less than an hour?
Yeah, we can never get those things with the little squeaky things inside because our dog Boo just destroys them in seconds, and it's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's also not safe.
But I mean, you're selling toys for between $20 and $50.
Beer kegs, we found, works well.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because they'll just chew on them.
Just chew on them, bang them around.
So what would you pay for a toy that was guaranteed to last the dog's lifetime? A chew toy that was indestructible.
That the dog liked.
Right.
Well, you'd have the dog $100. Easy.
Right. Yeah. So instead, you'll buy $20, $30 toys over its lifetime.
I go because you try and get something,
right,
and
every
pet store they tell you, "Oh, don't worry, this one." Yeah. No,
I'm saying there's no money in them creating an indestructible one.
That's right.
You know.
Right.
So
yeah. So and she's happy. She's happy destroying the toy, and then proudly in the way that I think, you know, dogs do with, you know, if they kill birds, they put the birds in their mouth and carry the birds around,
right,
so that you can
see. Hey, look at me.
Yeah, look at that.
Get a load of this.
She destroys a toy. We take out all the cotton from the inside, all the squeaky things from the inside, and she proudly puts the rest of it in her mouth.
She struts.
Shakes it around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Strutting, shaking it around all over the place.
You run around the bases, dog.
Yeah.
Don't you rub my face in it.
Yeah, and she does that.
I have a friend whose dog actually chases and catches squirrels, and on a good day leaves the carcass outside. On a not
takes
so
it
good
in.
Day,
takes it
there's
in.
A doggy door.
With the blood.
Brings it in, ugh, and last week put it on the bed. Like, here you go.
Well, yeah.
You go.
Look what I did.
Offering.
Look what I did
They're
for you.
Incredibly
for
proud.
You, Warlord.
And it's exactly what
it's an
they
offering.
Think.
Yeah.
They think that you should be very proud of them.
Yeah.
By the way, just on a completely side note, I cannot play 36 anymore. I can't.
Is that, yeah, you're still feeling that?
I can't. No, it's not that. It's like the last on Saturday when we played 36. After the first nine in the afternoon, I didn't get a single ball in the air.
I
didn't
agree with you. I mean, maybe your kid disagrees with
you. You've got to get the Pure Wave thing that I talked about a few weeks ago on the show. And one of the alert listeners actually got it for his wife and then texted me or something and said, "Change my life. You have to get this." It's a handheld thing you can get on Amazon. It's called Pure Wave. It's a massage thing. And after you play 18 holes or 36 holes or whatever, you just rub it on the sore spots, and you will feel great.
But I didn't feel sore. I'm too old.
But you,
I just
you got
to, Michael, I couldn't get the ball in the air at all. I just hit everything on the ground. I made no swings. I was done.
Why didn't you just change the way you were playing?
So you don't
what
hurt.
You just hit irons just off the tee.
I couldn't get irons. I couldn't get anything in the air.
Why don't you guys just play 18 and then play the second 18 in like a, you know, two-man scramble format or alternate shot or some Ryder Cup thing that's like
for
fun.
Money.
But you can still play for money
not
that
a lot
way.
Of money, but we're playing for some
money.
Yeah,
you won 20 large.
Yeah, that's not, you know. Yeah. I reached that point. I'm too old. Can't do it.
Can you go to the bullpen? Is there somebody that can finish out the last nine for you?
I could.
Yeah. Like Papelbon?
I'm ready.
I'm bringing
the catcher.
Rounds.
Hey, guys, I'm here for
that'd
the high
like
school
bringing,
match.
That'd be like bringing in Mariano Rivera. That ain't Pap.
And thanks to Michael for signing me up yesterday. You can explain that story.
Well, I get here yesterday morning and Dad graciously welcomes me by saying, "You need to sign me up for the Member Guest Tournament, which is an online portal through the club website, and you have to do it in this 15-minute window, it seems
like." Because everybody's signing up.
Oh, sure.
And you can get frozen out. It's like first come, first serve.
Yes. First come. Yes. And so I'm sitting here trying to get, you know, everyone ready, emails ready, everything, and he's just glaring at me, making sure that I get this one task done.
It's got to do it at 8 o'clock. Well, he got it done, so I was very happy.
And I think I got you an extra stroke or two.
Yeah, that way your father-in-law has something to do.
Well, I never signed him up, just you.
No, he's the guest.
Well, I assume when I
signed him up for a twosome, I hope.
We are terrible together.
Our outside is loved.
Terrible.
Can't be worse than you and I.
We're as bad.
The best part about the two dads playing in the member guest together are the stories you get from the different perspectives in the days and weeks after. And each dad will pull us aside, you know, onto the porch. You know, at dinner, and
you should have seen him.
Yeah, the way they'll break down. Like, God, I was really in this hole and just missed the putt, or I had a great driving day, and you're like, that's not what I heard from the other source.
It's really wonderful.
Are outsiders allowed to come watch?
Well, they are. They don't. Nobody's ever
gallery?
Done that. But you could have a gallery. Sure, I'm sure you could have a gallery. I don't think anybody cares about that. You could do that. You could show up at Rehoboth Beach. All right, we will take a break, and we will come back with jingles and email.
That's right.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Chatter, good food, and some podcasting. The fun is everlasting. Tony, spit the money. Will you pass me the honey? I hope this stays afloat. Well, it's Monday. It's veggie pot pie with pastry. I really love an Hornaday. Tony, spit the money. Will you pass me the honey? I hope this stays afloat. David, he really knows the NBA. Tony knows 1973. I like Wilbon's Chile. Tony spent the money. Will you pass me the honey? I hope this stays afloat.
Me too.
Everybody's in the booth. Is there dessert for my sweet tooth? I hope Tony makes some money. Don't you see this pot is free? Success is what we need to see. Go to Chatter for Tony. For Tony.
This is Chris Brinkley.
That's great.
What is the song
Good
that
that's music.
From?
That's a song called Lightning Bug by a bloke from my home country named Jake Bug, which okay. is a very odd name, but he's a very talented young man.
Chris Brinkley writes, I'm a proud, loyal little for many years. I'm also the play-by-play announcer and voice of the University of Tennessee at Martin Skyhawks. Alumni you might know include Leonard Hamilton and Pat Summitt. I'm sending you this song because I want everyone to support Chatter so you can make buckets of cash. I listen to your pod every day at no cost. Thank you for being the best free thing I've ever received. Instead of sending you cash for the value of the quality entertainment, I am encouraging my family to vacation at Chatter. My son wants to go to Disney World. My parents want to go to the Grand Canyon. I'm pushing Chatter. By the way, I need your vacation schedule so I know for sure you're not on vacation when I go on vacation. That would be like visiting Disney World and learning that Mickey Mouse is on a beach in Hawaii. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Neil Greenberg for coming on today. I'd also like to thank the sponsors, Books, Casper Mattresses, and SeatGeek. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review.
Nice copy edit from mid-read.
Tom yes, Allen.
Thank you. It's my mistake.
Tom Allen writes, last week Barry mentioned that Alex Ovechkin averaged a half a goal per game in the playoffs. I would argue that those numbers are overflated since most of those games were in the first round of the playoffs against teams who are usually 7th or 8th seeds. By the end of next week, Alex will likely be scoring goals for Russia in the World Championships. The only suspense is whether his flight will depart from Pittsburgh or Dulles.
Ouch.
Rather than rant like Luke about the Caps, I'll actually present a fact. Since 2000, only 6 of the NHL franchises have not advanced past the second round. Here are those. Oh, wow. Atlanta, now Winnipeg, Nashville, Columbus, Florida, and the New York Islanders, and the Washington Capitals. Come on, man.
Nashville's,
what are we even doing out
Nashville's
here?
A threat to get there. Yeah.
Okay.
Good company.
So this is from Dan Buterazzi with dates on these things. And the first one was September 8th, 2016. Mr. Tony, great to have you back. Quick question. Do you tee off before or after the show? My guess is you're broadcasting from Columbia Country Club. Okay, on September 13th, he writes, so I guess I nailed the location since you won't read my email on the show. Well, am I right? And on May 1st, he writes, I had that. I like that. David Lombardo, Saratoga Springs, New York. I was extremely let down to hear that your daughter did the cooking for you on your annual pseudo-high school reunion golfing trip. Every year, I look forward to hearing you talk about how you and your classmates chip in and make dinner. Everyone has a responsibility, including picking up the meat. But seriously, as a 29-year-old millennial, I always enjoy hearing about friendships that span multiple decades. We went to Hickman's and we picked up the meat, and we went to the Big Fish Market and we picked up the fish. Eddie and I did all of that, which is what we do all the time. And everybody cleaned up and everybody ran the dishwasher nice. And everybody did everything they're supposed to do. And Elizabeth cooked.
Got hammered.
Michael in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I just received a gas bill for my home that was 5 times higher than the previous months, despite April being the warmest in history for this area. Since you seem to be an expert on this, I was hoping perhaps you could take some time and call a few people on my behalf. Call the council. Call the corporate council. That's what you do. Bypass all the representatives. Go straight to the executives. Patrick Rodriguez in Frederick, Maryland. My oldest masculine child's birthday is coming up, and the one thing Henry wants for his birthday is to go to a Nats game, stay in a hotel, and go to Chatter to watch the taping of the podcast. Are there any planned off days that we should avoid? Try to avoid crushing my son's soon-to-be 13-year-old spirit. The 20th, the 19th, the 18th of May, whatever that Friday is.
The 19th.
19th of May, we're not
going to be here. What a great birthday present that sounds like. Yeah. Great little father-son deal there.
From Tom O'Neill in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Was yesterday's show 1% or Thursday? Is this from last week? Or
sounds like last week.
Yeah. Luke was born on third base, thinks he hit a triple. Saliza, born on first base, thinks he hit a triple. Mr. Tony hit a home run and wants Blake Treinen deported for blowing the save. Jim McManus, Manhattan Beach, California. In the future, if I need to use an example of a misplaced modifier while tutoring SAT or ACT, I now have a perfect example. Quote, when I was in New Zealand, I stayed with this great widow who had a big French poodle and who was slinging back wine. Thanks, Luke. The poodle wasn't slinging back the wine.
Right.
The widow was. Right. Nick Barton, Marietta, Georgia. Mr. Tony, I haven't gotten around to submitting a jingle yet. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I've been in the editing phase for quite a while. Can you tell me, when is the deadline for submissions to win the Paul McCartney tickets? It's like 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was a few years back.
Jim Flynn in Colebrook, Colebrook, Connecticut. Tony, I have no previous experience as a server, and I'm pretty surly. If a customer said something stupid, like rabbits climb trees, I would ridicule them. Also, to make it worth my while, my salary requirement is $300 per hour. Resume available upon request. Apply to the Socialite LLC, because Chatter needs servers.
Yes.
We still need them. If you're out on your bike tonight, as always, everyone, do wear white.
Why do I want to puke?
boop, 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 boop.